okay?
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll go again.
Alright, Matthew?
Yep.
Yeah. We're just going to... Alright, we'll go with this again.
Yeah,
it'll be fine. We'll do it one more time.
Okay, am I speaking too much to your question?
No, not at all. It's good to have that continuity, so like it's sort of like a commentary of what's happening. Not at all, it's all fine. It's just that I'm just using some pretty high-tech gear here and there's some other audio stuff on the computer.
Yeah, look, I can understand that, mate.
Yeah, we should be fine this time. I'm not going to press any more buttons. This is Bruce King, reporting for Media Man Australia. We're speaking with Matthew Bristow, the director of Bristow Films. What's happening at Bristow Films, Matthew?
Making a couple of short films, Greg, at the moment, and developing a few other projects. So, basically, dropped one premiere exhibition on Saturday night at Esmeralds.
Right, and what's the title of that film, and what's the main theme, if you like?
Well, the title of it's called Thought Police Are Watching, and it's set in a graveyard, so it's a sort of a dark film. It's about a character, I suppose he's a secret agent, who's stashed some goodies behind a gravestone, and he retrieves it, and doing so gets himself killed.
Right, well, you and I have both of an appreciation of, I guess, how would you say it, not necessarily the crime scene, but let's just say, I mean, some influences from the underworld and crime, and I guess knowing of figures like the late, great Big Tim Bristow and Tricky Ricky Tingle may or may not influence anyone, but how have you actually been influenced as the type of films that you are producing?
Well, obviously, Tim had an impact on all his family, and that includes me, and in so much as I have a interest in crime fiction and films that I suppose have a bit of intrigue and, you know, a little bit dark, and also that involve clues and all that sort of thing, and in that regard, Hitchcock and all that sort of genre and style of film has greatly influenced me, I suppose, through Tim's ways.
Yes, well, films do have a unique look and feel, very edgy and, I would say, somewhat ahead of their times in some ways, but they also encompass tradition. It's sort of hard to... it's one of those things you've actually got to see your films to truly appreciate them.
Oh, well, thank you, Greg. Yeah, the film medium's been around... this is coming into the second century. So, yeah, obviously the tools you work with are traditional, but like anything, it's, I suppose, how you use them that makes the difference.
So talk me through the process of, like, when you get an idea to produce a film, what's actually, like, both in the mindset and also manually, what processes are involved before that film actually gets onto the big screen or video or both?
Well, it lots depends on how the film has come about and what your method is. Bigger films require more involvement from a lot of people, and in so far as it's very much a team process, and that comes about because you've financed or had funding from one of the government bodies. But as a filmmaker, I suppose you actually have to trade money for time in some ways, and persistence, and really hands-on, get involved in all aspects of it, and it starts with an idea, and I suppose networking that idea with people who are like-minded, and really making it happen, and believing
yes.
You're going to make it happen.
Yes. Some of your films have quite a bit of notoriety. I understand you've actually quite a list of accomplishments. One of your films got some prominence in one of the Melbourne Film Festivals, did it not, one or 2 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, Melbourne's got a great underground, if for want of a better expression, scene for filmmakers and the artists in so many ways. Sydney seems to be a place that you often arrive at, and so I have submitted a couple of films to only two festivals down there, and there's been a finalist in both of them. One of them was the Adam Awards, and that was a journey, I suppose. It's a road movie of sorts, or a foot movie, from England to Guinea-Bissau and West Africa, and then back for the Notting Hill Carnival. So it's a very much a world vision type of film, and it was received well in the category of innovative creative production down in 1999 in the Adam Awards, which I was very pleased with. So it represented lots of work, especially as a one-man band, sort of takes a long time to believe in yourself and make a film happen, and so that sort of recognition is muchly appreciated.
Yes, how much work is involved in actually marketing that, so to basically get that in front of the right people so it can end up in cinemas or whatever suitable form of medium so the masses can enjoy that?
Well, I suppose it's like anything, it's people and opportunities and perseverance and standing your stuff out and, you know, obviously meeting the right people at the right time. The film I talked about, Africa, I mean, being a sort of very much an independently financed film, you can tend to have the freedom to say whatever you like, and that can be great, and it also can restrict your audience insofar as places that might want to actually see your film, depending on the proprietor and depending on their views on what the subject matter is, and the same applies to obviously getting distribution sales through film distribution companies. Again, you know, it's all about perseverance and marketing your product or having something that you believe might be a sleeper and be around for a lot longer. And
yes.
You can be like that. So it's really about making something that's going to be around for a long time, like paintings or anything like that. They have their own life once they're made and completed. So, you know, you keep on making projects and you're only as good as your last one, and so hopefully over time, you know, your audience grows with you, so to speak.
Yes, and I'm sure that our audience is quite interested to get an update on what's happening on the film and possible documentary series and the book on the light of Big Tim Bristow. I guess there's a little bit of information out there in the marketplace at the moment, but everyone wants to know what's the update with the possible series on Big Tim Bristow.
Well, the book, which has taken at least 10 years to write, has been written by Kevin Perkins, and he's a great Australian writer. He's written quite a few books to date, including, the Brian Marwood story, which opened up the bodyline debate, a book on Menzies, as well as The Gambling Man. So he's taken on Tim's book, which already I believe there's been five previous writers who have attempted it, and Kevin, having been a journalist and obviously spent some time as a police cadet, sort of was able to work through a lot of what made up Tim and authenticate things without obviously upsetting people, which he's done, and the book has been recently completed and it's published at the moment, and I believe it's out in October, so we're looking forward to reading Kevin's perspective on things. It's going to be pretty interesting. I think a lot of Sydney people will enjoy the read because it's he's no longer around, I suppose.
Yes, it will be a most interesting read indeed, and perhaps it might keep some people up late at night for more than one reason.
Yeah.
But I guess time will tell.
Well, that's it. I mean, you know, it's obviously a tricky storyline in so many ways. But then again, you know, the life of a private investigator or what's pursued is muddy water, so So someone has taken upon themselves, someone with experience, to, you know, bring Tim's world, I suppose, to us, which will be great. And hopefully, if that's well received, then there are options over features and all that sort of thing.
Yes, it will be a compelling read indeed, and it sounds like the sort of thing that could be absolutely ideal for running a weekly series of not so much like your friend style, but perhaps, I don't know, like one of those detective series like there was Columbo and others over the years, and you're tuned in and expect to see what he's up to.
Well, yeah, there was always, and always has been, talk with stories based around Tim. There was a plans years ago, but you know, I imagine with Uncle Tim so intimidatingly involved, intimately, or his intimidating personality may in fact frighten a few people. So I suppose now it's a lot easier, and Tim gets his story told.
Yes, but it seems as if there's probably an endless line of material just waiting to be showcased in a weekly series.
There's lots of material, yeah. He always seemed to attract the attention of the media, so I suppose that was his manner as much as anything else.
Yes. And what else is on the horizon at the moment at Bristow Films?
I've been involved with three other writers for quite some time, developing a very tightly crafted crime fiction set in Sydney. And basically, I'm involved in the final development stages of that, actually, Greg. Looking forward to that, and Tim's character had a cameo role in it, and obviously now it's probably well, has to be filled by somebody else. But yeah, like you said earlier, he did influence a lot of people, including myself, and so you know, making films about that murky world is something that's always interested me.
Yes, if you had to describe your style of films and film documentaries, how would you describe them?
Well, I suppose I'd say that they're art orientated, lots of symbolism, a little bit of intrigue, and trying to put emotion in it, and very much people orientated at this stage. So dark.
Mm.
And hopefully with a resounding light or a learning curve, one or the other.
Yes, and what other partners are you currently working in with to make it all happen, from both, you know, marketing, getting the word out, technical, all these different facets to make it happen?
Well, I suppose, like all filmmakers, you have a team of people who occupy different positions, and at this stage, I've been very much a one-man band, and then making it happen through my own experiences and contacts working in the industry over the last, you know, 15 or so years, both here and in the UK. So as you move forward, you work with all these people, and they grow and you grow, and it makes facilitates the whole process. So your films become seen, I suppose, and get a wider audience. And
yes,
what's happening, been happening more and more.
Right, yeah. I can't think of a more exciting project myself at the moment than to be involved in what you're doing, and it's just, you know, it's just tremendous having all this material to write about. But of course, it's the selection process, working out what will we talk about and what won't we, and utilising the internet and with interviews, and then getting media savvy people looking at it. And I think the awareness is quite high. I think everyone has come back to the book's release, and the feeling I get is it's not going to be a case of if a movie or a series gets made, it's going to be a matter of when, and I guess, yes, it's a matter of getting that project off the ground, and I can just see the cinemas filling up and people being glued to their TV sets on a weekly basis.
Well, yeah, well, very much the case, and but you need a base to begin, and in many ways, the task that Kevin's done by going actually take you on board gives a great starting point for anything. I mean, all great films start with a book, and you know, obviously, if the book reaches and jumps through and makes it through all the various hoops for it to become published, then that's where we begin. And obviously, Kevin's the man driving the seat from a book's point of view, and his publishers, and you know, options would begin from there. So, yeah, I do believe it will be told. There are a lot of people who are interested in story because I suppose they see their world in Tim's life somewhere along the line, especially people who have been in Sydney for a long time, so longer families, probably, you know, more fascinated with the book because Sydney was smaller in those days. So that was the world that Tim grew up in, and people have grown prominent or whatnot from there. So they might be interested just to say that they're not in the book.
That's right. What words of advice would you have for those people looking to move forward in the movie making industry? I guess it's one of those things everyone wants to, you know, make movies, or everyone wants to be in the media, but it's a lot harder doing it. So what key words of advice would you give to people looking to become successful in the movie making business?
Well, I suppose success is a relative term, I suppose. From the start, I suppose you need the basic training in the craft, because it is very much a craft. Thereafter, I suppose you need to go out and make a film as much on your own as you can, so that you can realise your vision. And once you know that you can realise the vision that you had, it might vary, but by completing it, then, you know, when you engage other people in a project, first of all, you know you can do it. And secondly, they know that you can do it. They can see your look on things. And basically, you also know how to direct them and how to engage them in the project and make it a very much a collaborative team effort. And it's those collaborative team effort type films that probably go further than any other one.
Yes, thank you.